What up, Cabruna?
What's poppin'? You sound a little sick there.
I'm a lot sick, but hopefully not for long.
Well, here's to hope you feel better. I'm sorry, boo.
Thanks, man. I think I can power through it. I think I'm feeling better today, so it's whatever. The reason that you guys didn't get an intro is because you're going to get an intro in a little bit, by the way.
We have some really special audio. Like, we... this is finally our Klexicon episode. Like,
yeah, a couple of weeks ago, we were at Klexicon and we had a live panel and we caught some audio from it. It's not like perfect, but it's pretty damn good considering. And it was in front of a live audience, so the energy's there. And I thought it sounded pretty damn good considering.
Oh, it sounded amazing considering we had no idea how this was going to sound or how it was going to be. We had no idea how the panel was going to be, but I guess we can get into that. Like, we can talk about Klexicon a little bit, like itself, like attending.
Yeah, I will say from my perspective, I've been to Klexicon every single year. This one was by far the most fun for me, but also the most different overall. But I want to know what you thought of it as a first timer.
As a first timer, I guess like my experience is a little bit like jaded, you know, not jaded, but like, like I didn't just get to attend Klexicon. I got to be on a panel and like our little press badge. Like we never had to wait in line for any panel.
Fuck, yeah.
It was great. We just would walk through everything and we had all this kind of like access that it was ridiculous. Like I just didn't even know what to do with that access. And it was really cool. The energy of being around other queer like people made me mad happy, and I didn't realize like how much of a shock it was until like I think we went to Taco Bell at like 3 a.m. remember?
Oh god, yes. But after what though? You gotta talk about that.
Oh my god, so we Ascension is probably my favorite part of Klexicon, like hands down.
Really? I guess for a first timer, I can see how you would feel that way. Definitely.
Well, I mean also because you know I was there with like friends, you know, so it didn't
make
like
such
and
a
I
difference.
Made new friends, and it makes a difference to like be around all these queer people and then like your friends, you know, people that I've interacted with on Twitter and never met, or I'd only met like once, and I get to spend like literally 3 days with them. So it was really, really cool to be in there, and then like being there with Functional, completely like having our friends premiere their web series there was like super dope. And they're so amazing and funny. So I was blown away by what they did, too.
Yeah. So we went from being, like, surrounded by, like, hundreds of lesbians and just partying with them to drunkenly making our way over to, like, the Taco Bell cantina in Las Vegas where there was a lot of, like, straight people. Straight and it was a little bit of a shock
guys.
From being after being, like, around just gay people for about 40 hours. It was like, what? Like, who are these people? Why are they not gay? Like, yeah.
Who are these straight dudes in like fucking khaki shorts at 3 a.m. at Taco Bell? I mean, we should have known it's Taco Bell. That's like,
it's, you know. Yeah, I mean, it was still whatever, it was whatever, like still we had fun.
Yeah, it was pretty cool. It was really fun. I mean, there are a couple things that like, of course, like we saw the tag that Mani Mod tagged us in, the Klex Apocalypse, there we go. And I kind of agreed and I kind of didn't because, again, this was my first experience there. But I think the common theme with us that weekend is that we were mainly around, like, queer people of color. And there aren't that many of us, but we got to spend the majority of the time kind of, like, in that circle. So it wasn't my experience of it is that, yes, it is extremely white. And at the same time, like, we still found, like, our little queer space. And I definitely feel like I want to go again just to be around other queer POCs out there at Klexicon because they were amazing, so.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, we have to acknowledge that there was a lot of problems with it last year, the year before that, and there was a lot of problems with it this year. This is a fact, you know.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't know. I've only been there 1 year, but what do you think?
I mean, I can't.
Has it gotten better?
I would say go to that hashtag. Maybe we'll link it on cabronazychinganas.com and kind of check out some of the other people's experiences. A lot of the problems were that the vendors experienced and maybe stuff that happened with the volunteers and things like that. For us, I think the main problem was that a lot of the POC-centered panels happened in a certain room that had the worst air conditioning in the entire fucking world, which included our podcast panel. And that sucked. And there was a bit of a weird pattern there. I don't know if that was on purpose. I don't know how that worked logistically, but it sucked.
Also, the scheduling, like having us be at the same time that like one day at a time was happening.
Well, we were right after. I can't be mad at that.
Right, immediately after.
There was 15 minutes for people to get from one day at a time to our panel. It wasn't. I was completely fine with that. You know, in comparison to last year, the scheduling of the panels was actually a big improvement. Last year, I swear to God, it was like two things that people would clearly fans both of those things were happening at the same time, and it was really frustrating. But that was just my experience. I also will say that I had probably a different experience because I didn't go to half as many panels as I usually do, and I didn't go to, I don't think, any of the white ship panels, and those are the big popular ones, like white, like Way Hot and stuff like that. I just didn't go to any of them. I just didn't feel the need to this year, and that's where like 90% of the goers go.
The attendees. I mean, one of my favorite panels, if we're getting into panels now, which was surprisingly, I mean, duh, One Day at a Time is number one, but number two would definitely be Black Lightning.
Black Lightning was great.
Amazing. Like, I only watch her clips, right? But, like, after this, I was, like, a Nafessa Williams fan, like, to the core. Like, now I, like, stan her. I really, really have a love for her that's just, like, I'm pretty sure it's mutual. She really loves her fans.
She's wonderful. I enjoyed our panel more than anything. That was because our friends were in the room. And so shout out to all of our friends, once again, from Functional Series and Marimar and the Vals. I'm so upset that One Day at a Time we only caught half of it because we had to run over to ours.
And we didn't actually even need to.
Yeah, we like wanted to be extra prepared, but we couldn't be. So that sucked.
Yeah. I mean, it is what it is, but I still feel like we had a pretty surprisingly good episode, that we had a live episode there. I think that was good.
Right.
I was really shocked. I was like, wow, I didn't bomb.
And I wanted to release last week, but we had already recorded the Get Out episode, and it was just easier for us to release that episode first. And we both had some busy times, which is why we've been slacking a little bit on the social.
Yeah, we've kind of both been super busy lately, and oh my god, please tell us about your new thing that you did this last weekend. Like, let us know. I have so many questions. Please tell me tell everyone what you did.
So I went to my first and my last Coachella, and I went with a really large group of people. I only knew Liz from Functional and her wife, but I made a few other friends, and they're really, really cool people. But I also got sick, so I didn't get to see as many artists as I wanted. But I gotta say, two standout performances for me that were one surprising, one really surprising. Rosalía, absolutely fucking phenomenal. Like, I love her
voice,
and her like music is really, really good. But then you don't expect her to be that good live, and then you're like, oh shit, she's fucking good live, like amazing. And I got to see her
con Natura, eh?
Yeah, and. That's the next one. She actually ended up being brought in by J Balvin, who was arguably the most entertaining performer of the entire festival for me.
Wow.
J Balvin, I'm not even a fan of him, but he brought out Rosalía, and he played out old school stuff, and he brought out Bad Bunny. So
I heard he did old school reggaeton, and that's where everybody was like losing their shit.
Dude, yeah, like me and the few people that I was there with, like, lost our shit. Like, we had our own personal rave. It was actually really fucking amazing. We were like so energized after that I think we were like just on
cloud nine.
My brain is absolutely gone, guys. Bronchitis.
You're sick.
So okay. Yeah, we were on cloud nine for hours and hours and hours, and then Bad Bunny was the next day, and he's an emo boy, so his show is very much along that style. So I loved it because I love him, and I love Por Siempre, the album.
So good.
But people were expecting a very J Balvin show, and it was not a J Balvin show. Like, J Balvin was all about the hits and entertaining the crowd, and it was more like a club than anything. Whereas Bad Bunny was like, here are my sad stories.
hear my feelings.
Yeah. So I was
he's team feelings. Shout out Radu Manea.
Yeah, exactly. I love him. And yeah, he would change up the pronouns in the songs and everybody was like not really batting an eye about it, but in my head I was like, holy shit, this is a big deal. You know?
You're like gay.
I was like, I love a sexually fluid man or person. Yes. So
I love that.
So yeah, it wasn't as hype as I expected. But you know another one that was surprising, and I'm not going to talk about it for very long, but Weezer. I had a really good time during Weezer.
I've seen them live. They're pretty good.
It's just because they have so many hits. They've been around for so long that like every single song they can play has been a hit at some point. And
it's like an hour long of just hits. Yeah. Because that's how many they have.
They have so many. And then Liz was really litty during that, so everybody was just like having a really good time. That's when like the biggest of the group kind of got together. So
for Weezer.
For fucking Weezer. Yeah.
Oh, how is Janelle Monae? I saw it on like YouTube from my couch.
Iconic. Like Janelle Monae, like she was amazing. The crowd did not do her justice. They didn't know her
shit. We saw that white crowd. We understood why.
It was horrific, but like me and my friends of course were like super hype on it, and we were like dancing and we were singing and we were like super on that shit because we loved it, and you could tell she was having fun with it and she was being real homo about it, and I loved it. So yes, I gotta say, she, for that day, I would say her performance was the most beautiful. I think that was Friday, if I'm not mistaken, and then Saturday was J Balvin, of course. That was the best one. And Sunday, I mean, I liked Bad Bunny.
Who else was on Sunday?
There was a bunch of people on Sunday. I didn't see them because I got there really late and left really early.
gotcha.
I had bronchitis. YG was interesting. I got there for a...
interesting.
Yeah, so I kind of like rolled in after Claire. I went to go see Claro as well. And I rolled in after that. And I get there and he brings out like a Donald Trump guy. Like not all, actually him, but like we're pretending to be, and he's saying all this offensive shit.
Oh, he did Fuck Donald Trump,
and then he played
Fuck
Donald Trump right after, exactly. So it was funny. People were reading, like that crowd was humongous. It was wild, big, and they were having a lot of fun.
That's good. I love anyone that's, you know, starting a circle of Fuck Donald Trump. That's like an everyday lifestyle, you know, every day.
Yeah, everybody was bringing people out, but I didn't really see a whole lot of stuff. I kind of stuck to like all the Latinos and stuff like that. Yeah,
as you should. That's lit. Did who was there this year,
the headliners, or what do you mean,
the Latinos? The there was like a norteño band there, wasn't there?
You're talking about Los Tucanes Tijuana.
Okay, how was that?
So that day, god, we're like taking way too long doing this, but that day was so fucking hot. Like it was almost 100 degrees, and you have to walk about a mile from where you get dropped off to the actual entrance. So walking a mile in that 100 degree heat and then going directly to Tucanes de Tijuana basically wore us the fuck out. So we were like halfway passing out and shit. And so we went, of course we went and like showed out and like listened and watched, but we just couldn't enjoy it very much because it was just so fucking hot. It was so exhausting. Like after that, I actually ended up missing King Princess because I was just trying to like not pass out and I was trying to hydrate.
These are things you have to do. Yeah, that's like that fucking festival life that I'm not into, because I'm not into porta potties. So I'm like, fuck that.
Yeah.
Fuck a festival.
Honestly, we were all like first timers that knew it was going to be our last time. So we were in the right crowd where we knew that we had our limits. Like we're too old for this shit type of thing.
Last time I went to ACL, and the first time I went to ACL, I was like taking a nap in the grass like half the day because I was like, oh no, this is y'all wildin'.
I loved ACL. At least it's only 2 days.
No, it's three now.
Is it three?
It's three. It's Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
Okay.
You're like, shit.
I'm remembering it wrong. I don't know.
It's two weekends now, too. It's like Texas Coachella.
Oh, no,
it's
no, the Coachella, ACL, never mind. ACL's been two weekends. I know. Yeah, that's right. Okay. Well, I don't know. That's enough about Coachella, though, unless you have questions. Yes.
Yeah. No, I'm good. You told me what I was curious to hear about.
Cool.
But yeah,
you said that you've been busy, too? What have you been doing?
I went to a play yesterday. I saw 12th Night, which is very gay. It's all about a woman who dressed up as her male brother and fell in love with a man, and then that man's like having his like bisexual awakening because he's like, I'm attracted to a man right now.
So this is Mulan?
It's Mulan, dude. Yes, I got like Shang vibes the whole time because I was like, this dude is into this chick who's dressed up as a dude, and then this chick is into this chick who's dressed up as a man, but she doesn't know, but she's just into it. And I'm like, I stan, and there was like a gay brother, and I was like, okay, Shakespeare being gay as fuck, I love this. And it was like the Dallas like modern interpretation. Everybody's like wearing like, you know, Hawaiian shirts, and they're supposed to be on like some like party island. I don't know. It was good. It was very good. Very gay.
Got it. Got it.
Yeah.
All right. Well,
yeah.
Fun.
Yeah, that's about it, though. Just, like, having, living the señora life, like, making, like, dinner every night and, you know.
I'm gonna need you to step it up a little bit, then, if that's all you're doing. I'm gonna need you to get on it.
Oh, no. Like, the señora life is full-time, girl. Like, you gotta cook, you gotta clean, you gotta wash, you gotta, like, be out here.
Jesus.
Oh, I forgot this ingredient. Like, it's so boring and washed, but it's so good for me, and I feel so normal. But anyways, let's get into the episode, yeah.
Okay, yeah, so this episode is such a good time. You'll hear more about it during the episode. Hopefully I do a good job editing. I don't know yet. I haven't done it yet. I'm not looking forward to it. And we cut out like a solid 10 to 15 minutes from the top of it that we'll probably release later on patreon.com/CYC podcast because it's just wasn't a part of it. It's funny, but it's also like not the greatest quality, but like we're talking to people in the audiences and you can't really hear them. So it's, yeah.
Yeah, it's just kind of like bad. For y'all, good. Yeah. For us.
So full one will be released in Patreon probably, and yeah. So if you guys don't already follow us on CYC Podcast, Twitter and Instagram.
My personal is at Fried Babita.
Mine is MYTE Panda, Might the Panda, and we also have a Facebook, CYC Pod, and we have a website, cabronesychingonas.com, that we'll try to update. And yeah, leave us
Spotify,
a rating and a
iTunes.
Review.
Everything, yeah. Rate, review, 5 stars.
I put out those Capri Sun thirst traps, and nobody even went and rated and reviewed, so I guess they weren't that good.
Oh, I thought they were good. Yours is really, really good.
God.
I gotta put mine out.
Yeah, nobody's putting theirs out. I'm like, all right, whatever. It's fine. Mine wasn't that great either, actually, but Corey did a great job as a photographer.
Corey's amazing. Shout out to Corey forever.
Yeah, shout out to Corey, best producer ever from Functional Series as well. God, is there anything else? Any other shout outs? Any AKAs? I've been listening to a lot of Deezus and Miro.
Go keep an eye out for Functional Series and go follow our homies, Functional Series. So
yeah, they did so good. People love,
bro. I can't wait till
premiere.
They release their shit. It's so fucking funny.
Yeah,
I was like blown away back there. I was like, I wasn't even awake for that whole like segment just for them. Like after them, I was like, okay, I'm tired. No one else is really doing it for me. Good night. Like,
best web series. Don't best quote me or quote me. Yeah, quote me. Okay,
quote you. Yes.
All right, here
Bye
we go.
Guys.
Gonna fade in really professionally. Just kidding. I'm gonna edit it really crappily. Here we go.
Welcome to Cabronas y Chingonas, a podcast where we talk about queer and Latinx topics such as
Captain Marvel.
Marvel. Sorry, she's fucking gay.
Yeah.
She's married. They have a daughter.
This movie's for the lesbians. And I was like, no, it's not. And
I told her. She didn't believe me.
I saw the cat. I was like, yeah, okay. I get it.
Lesbians, cats.
Yeah, immediately I was
leather
like,
leather jackets.
Oh my God, you're right.
They might as well have been wearing like jean
she
jackets.
She had a whole ass wife named Maria, so there's that.
They're married. They're in love. It was beautiful. It was for us. It was for the queer women.
It was for the gays.
For the gays.
For the
gays. Okay.
Hi, and thank you for being here at our panel in Plexicon. I'm sure there's a bunch of other fucking shit that you'd rather be doing, but
yes.
You're here.
Yeah, you're here enduring this with us.
That's pretty fucking wild. We know, yeah, like, we personally know so many of you. So many
Shout
of you
out
are just
to this first row. Yeah.
But But thank you for everybody that doesn't know us that came anyways. You guys are the fucking best. Please save the stickers for them.
Yes, yeah, yeah. If you just walked in here, thank you for just walking
yeah,
in.
Yeah, yeah. Like, some people probably don't even, like, know who the fuck we are. They're like, cabros y chingonas, why are they speaking English? Like,
we're so sorry. Yeah, so
please
sorry.
Forgive us.
Yeah.
So, all right. Today we're talking about gay marriage.
Yeah.
Oh. Gay marriage. It was Ooh. Legalized a few years ago. On that day, I texted my mom, hey, I'm gay. She didn't like that. But then she told me she loved me. So that was cool.
That was like the first time she heard that in like, what, your life?
Yeah. I don't remember.
I can count the amount of hugs I've gotten from my mom. Like, Latina moms, they hug you like 3 times when you graduate. Like,
maybe.
If you have a baby. If you make it to having a baby past 22, that's a big one.
If you get an arts degree, it's like,
oh, no, man. No. They give you like a one-armed hug. Like, ah, mija, no. My dad keeps asking me how my job at McDonald's is going. I tell him with pride. I was like, look.
And you're like, look, there's nothing wrong with working at McDonald's. Like, no. Yeah, they're just as good as... No. Actually, they're much better than the president, so let's talk about that. Back to gay marriage.
Yeah, sorry. Yeah, completely off topic.
So we're going to talk about something old, something new, something borrowed, something blue. Let's start with something old, and I'm going to totally turn it over to you, man, because you're, like, pro'd up right now.
Am I pro'd up? Okay, so I recently saw this documentary called Celluloid Closet. Came out in 95. It's basically, like, the white, like, version of us. Shout out to them, you know? Shout out to 1995, where white people were doing what we're doing now. So, inspired,
us
okay?
Being cabronas y chingonas, not the movie.
Not the movie, yeah. So, it's called Celluloid Closet, and it kind of goes into, like, gay representation and how we're shown throughout all of Hollywood and history. So I thought it was really interesting that they broke it down to like several different like, you know, tropes. Like they had the sissy that was for like femme men. They had the like scary like older like lesbian who was supposed to be like creepy. But the only thing I found interesting about that whole concept of like making older queer women creepy is that that's just not the reality. It's like women aren't scared of each other the same way that we for men. So even if like that just wouldn't happen, that wouldn't work, we wouldn't be scared of an older queer woman. Like we'd be like, oh my god, my future. I live to be that old. This is lit. Like because
you
I mean,
throughout this entire panel, you'd be like, that's gonna be me and Glow one day when it's like old.
I get
like,
so happy when I see like queer older women because I have hope, you know, because I don't know any like queer elders. So every time I see a queer elder, I'm like, wow, like I can really make it out here. Like I can actually thrive. Like I can be happy because we live in these like heteronormative like Latinx like culture, and like if you see like a queer older like butch woman, like you don't see them in public that much with their like significant other, or it's something that it's hush hush. So when you see it and I see it, it's like it gives me hope, and I don't know, it makes me happy.
To me, you are the queer elder, so you know.
I'm only like 2 years older than you, but
damn,
go off.
2 whole years?
Go off, sis.
Fuck.
Yeah. Yeah.
R.I.P. to Cynthia.
Fine.
I'm just kidding.
But yeah, it's actually a really good documentary. It's on Amazon Prime. It was like $3.99 Naren. I think it was really good to like get a perspective that isn't just like POC. I mean, because I center my universe around POC voices and like vision, so like every now and then I'll like reach out the box and I'll be, oh, what does this white man think about us, and what is like old Hollywood. And the only problem that I saw with this movie is that it was extremely white, and I didn't see any representation of like Latinx people, POC people, and we already know how we exist in older media and cowboy movies, you know, or completely non-existent, like Afro-Latinos are just completely non-existent in the past. So I thought that was
in Hollywood.
Queer. So it yeah. just, it was very telling, and I'm very happy that to live in this time to do what we're doing now versus what I was seeing back then in 95. Like,
right.
I was 4 years old. That's ridiculous.
Yeah. I mean, I still think there's probably a lot of interesting information from in that documentary. I saw it so long ago. I don't even remember it, but I remember, like, realizing, like, kind of seeing the path of that Hollywood took to get to where it is today. And seeing some of the stuff that still kind of sticks around.
It's
like
prevalent.
Some of these things, yeah, it's still around, and we still have to fight that shit. So, yeah, that's our something old.
Something old, and it's not that old, and it's really informative. So everyone should kind of, like, hey, yeah. Take some time, learn some old queer white history, They didn't throw the first brick at Stonewall, but like it's lit, right? Like we learn who, you know, who filmed the first kiss in Hollywood, and I think that's kind of cool and kind of dope. So
yeah. Yo.
So moving on to our next segment.
Something new.
Ooh. Okay.
God, I have so much shit to talk about, dude. Like I wrote a list.
You wrote a list.
Yeah. I mean, in the TV world, there's a lot of shit going on. Like, I told you a little bit about it. Like, right now there's Charmed. There was some controversies there, but Charmed is fucking legit, right? Like, I think it's, like, so good to see, like, a queer woman of color who's super proud, and she just, like, dates other women of color. And
wait, what?
Have you not seen it?
No, I have not. I have not seen it. We talked about this earlier. I don't watch TV.
Why do you do this? look, yeah, the first one she dates is Nico. She's an Asian woman, and the second one she dates is a black woman. So, it's fucking awesome. Sorry. But I'm loving Charmed. Like, I can't wait to do a full episode on it. It's so good. And same showrunner as like Jane the Virgin, which I'm like whatever. But but it's really good. I don't know. I fucking love it. So that's one of the something news that I have. The next one I have is Proven Innocent. Okay. So
oh my
one,
God! Yes.
I made you watch this.
You did make me watch this.
Proven
this
Innocent is on Fox. It's like a show about a woman that was incarcerated for like 10 years. And she gets out, becomes a lawyer, and she starts fighting to let out people that were wrongly incarcerated, like a lot of people of color, because that's who's in prison, right? Like they imprison unjustly people of color like crazy. So she's always fighting for them, and she's the lead, and she's a woman, so that's semi-rare. I mean, but like white women kind of are the leads a lot of the time. And so I was like not surprised by it, but then all of a sudden, episode 4 comes around.
The very end of episode 4, because they make you wait for it.
Yeah. The main character of this fucking show is, like, bisexual. And, like, that's fucking on Fox. Like,
and spoiler alert?
I don't want to spoil it.
Come on, I think that's kind of like, cool.
Do you guys mind? No. Did you guys get mad? Okay, so it's, she's like, sort of in love, somewhat dating a woman, like, a black woman in prison.
Yeah, incarcerated woman.
Yeah, it's pretty fucking wild.
It's pretty cool. Yeah. And actually, if you guys watch, like, if you guys listen to Serial or, like, if you like true crime podcasts, like, there is a actual, like, true crime podcast the show is centered around.
Within it.
And I thought what was really interesting concept about the show is that it's really talking about institutionalized racism and institutionalized, like, private prison industry and, like, government and how everything is using its power to incarcerate people of color, incarcerate women, incarcerate minorities. In Texas, there's this crazy law coming up where they're trying to put the death penalty on any woman if she wants to have an abortion. And I think that's total trash, but very representative of the reality in which we live, and that show is really reflecting it. And it's not, like, depressing. There's happy endings in every episode, you know? Like,
yeah.
I don't get depressed watching it because they let people out.
Yeah,
so exactly. It's hopeful.
It's barely on its first season. All the episodes are on Hulu for the most part, and it's only like on episode 7 or something like that.
Yeah, it's
but
really good.
This shit is like so underrated. It's so good. I love it. And there's also Legacies. I'm not gonna talk about that much, but there's like really casual queerness, and I love it. Good Trouble. That shit's fucking bomb as fuck. Like the first episode, I was like, I don't know about this episode, and after that, I was obsessed because it has like multiple queer characters, trans characters, people of color. Like, they're doing really great shit, and the writer's room I hear is pretty fucking solid, as somebody has told me.
As someone who doesn't watch TV, I was also kind of, like, dragged in to watch Good Trouble, and yes, it was every really now and good. Then. Yeah, I fuck good with shit. Good Trouble, and I don't watch TV, so it's good.
There's also two movies that I'll let you talk about that haven't come out yet.
Right.
But... Right.
Thank you for... Yes, yeah. I appreciate you sliding that over to me, because, yeah, I have no idea. Where is
right there?
Where?
Oh
wow! Okay, sorry. Okay, so yeah, Booksmart is coming out. Have y'all heard about that? Like the no, there's been a trailer about it. It's has Beanie
Feldstein.
She was in Lady Bird. Wow, this is really bad. But it's actually really good because there's actual like a queer lead. She's just like a little teenage white girl who's like queer. So I think that's kind of interesting.
No, hey, this movie. Yeah,
look, representation matters. Okay.
Look, there's two leads, and one of them plays a lesbian character, and the other one is a lesbian in real life. So I'm like, fucking here for it. And she's a bigger woman.
And
like,
it's written and directed by a woman.
Olivia Wilde.
Olivia Wilde.
Fuck. OG.
I have heard about it.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah,
okay. She's like OG gay. Like the OC. You remember like two episodes? It was one kiss.
Oh, for me, like I was talking about when she was on House. That was a shit.
Oh, she was in House?
Yeah, she was queer on House. Yeah, like for a long time. And then there's one more.
Yeah, there's one more with, I know, there's a lot of stuff with her, and we're working that out with her. You know, we sat her down and had a conversation. There's a movie called Someone Great coming out on Netflix with Gina Rodriguez as the lead. Yeah, she produced it.
Brittany Snow, yeah. I know.
We all sigh when we talk about Gina Rodriguez.
And there's a black woman in it.
There's a black queer woman in it, but I mean... Black queer men are always like side characters. I don't know. And then Gina Rodriguez, like, we have a love hate. We love her, but if anyone else talks bad about her, I want to fight them, you know? I'm like, how dare you? You don't get to say that about Gina, but I will read her to filth. And I have read her to filth on the episodes before. A lot. Yeah, like, I've told her to many
words. I've told
her
specifically because she knows who the fuck we are.
Maybe she does, right?
I mean, I think maybe. We're 1 degree, but still, no. She doesn't know the fuck we are.
She doesn't know the fuck we are. But yeah, I mean, we keep leading into that, like, oh, yeah, we get to be side characters, and hopefully we give it a watch, and we kind of decide then whether we hate it or not. But
What's coming up. It's new.
I'm going to give it a chance. I give everything a chance. Not everything, but, like, Gina Rodriguez, I give her chances. So many chances. But have y'all heard of anything new? No. Anything
this is a
gay?
Something borrowed section now. We're moving on.
Are we
something,
moving on?
Something borrowed.
Something
guys.
Borrowed.
That means that we need to borrow information from somebody in the audience.
Yes.
As to like what you guys recommend. Is there anything that we haven't talked about that you want to talk about? Oh my god.
Well,
this
can
is
I
so...
talk about Someone Great?
Yes. Yeah, tell us more about Someone Great.
Wait, come here. I'm gonna give you the mic.
Okay, so
that was like a really painfully slow turn.
So I didn't want to make like noise.
Tell us
so
more.
So here's why I trust, why I'm gonna trust Someone Great.
Okay.
Because the creator is Jen Caden Robinson, and she makes incredible content where people really feel seen. So I think that she wouldn't lead us in the wrong direction.
What has she made?
She did. Why am I blinking?
Because there's a mic in front of you.
No.
That's what happens.
She's super used to it. She's a producer. You got this.
Totally.
She's producing this episode.
Honestly, it looks funny. I'm not a big fan of Lakeith Stanfield, but...
Yeah, we know why you don't like Lakeith. Mm-hmm. He's been problematic in the past. He said some kind of like homophobic stuff in the past.
Sweet Vicious.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. That's it only got one season, but it was incredible and completely changed like the culture of around... assault victims and rape culture and like how we deal with that. So I don't think that she is a creator that would ever just throw in a character to be a side character anything like that. So I feel really good about it. We'll see what happens, but that's where I'm at with it.
Yeah, I trust your judgment. Yeah.
Sweet Vicious is one that we... Rainbow's over here. Sweet Vicious is one that I want to give it a chance, but it always breaks my fucking heart when they cancel good shit, especially after one season, so I have been avoiding it. One hit time, guys. Fuck. Alright, I'm over it.
It's okay. Breathe. Okay. Work through it.
It's my Chemical Romance, I'm not okay.
Siri.
So I haven't given it a chance, but now maybe I will. What time is it? Okay, we have time. Sweet.
Okay.
Fuck.
Are we going into it?
We've been avoiding this for 2 years.
Okay,
two
like,
years.
We're finally going to do it for y'all, though.
Something
okay.
Something blue.
Oh, God. So we're finally going to talk about blue as the warmest color. We've never talked about it because it's like the L word. Like, there's just so much that we don't even know where to start.
It must be a bash session. Corey's, like, losing her mind. I love this.
It's a garbage fire.
Oh, garbage fire. Yes, very well shot garbage fire.
Yes.
Cinematography on point. Yeah. Five panduces for cinematography. Okay. Like, but I didn't need that 8-minute scene. That 8-minute scene was unfucking necessary and super male gazy.
Yeah, I was straight up doing laundry, like, oh, fuck.
Bro, I was, like,
making sure that my roommates couldn't hear it. I turned the volume all the way down. I was so mad.
What, okay, like, looking at it now in 2019, looking at the sex scene, which is what we hate, both...
But what you hate,
I don't know. I used to hate it. I don't hate it now, because looking at it now, I think of, like, queer sex, and I think of, like, what people are allowed to feel and how they're allowed to express it, and I don't think anyone should have, like, you know, a rule book to say, that's not how it's done. Like, no, there is no rule book to queer sex. You should just do whatever the fuck feels good. And if in that instant that felt good for them, then high five. Like, as long as, you know, sex positive over here. As long as they came, that's all that matters. All orgasms matter, okay? Just have them. I don't care how weird they look, you know? No, I mean, that's true. And I thought that was, like, cool to kind of undo the idea that, like, sex is supposed to look a certain way, and especially with queer people, so. But I thought the second half of that movie, like, really taught me a lot of things, because after you go through your own heartbreak and then you see their stupid heartbreak on camera, it kind of made sense to me. I kind of didn't hate it as much this time around, just because I saw queer people fighting and breaking up, because sometimes we don't stay together, and we shouldn't have got together in the first place, because homegirl was underage,
oh my God,
and they had nothing in common. Yeah. What are you going to talk to about with, like, a 17-year-old when you're, like, in, like, art school? Like, what are you going to talk to, like, to an underage child? Straight like, up. Hey, hi, like, what did you learn today in, like, geography? Like, that's weird. Like,
you know what made me the most mad about this movie?
What?
Which, it's called Blue is the Warmest Color. It's a beautiful title. Like, I get it, and I, like, love that shit. But in French, it's called La Vie d'Adèle. And that makes 100% more sense, because it's the life of Adele. Like, this movie is just about the life of a girl, right? It's not about the chick with the blue hair. It's not about it at all. It's about Adele.
It's not about really their love story either.
Right. So that's what made me so mad the first time that I watched it. I was like, oh, what the fuck? What kind of love story is this? And, like, upon rewatch, I was like, oh, it's not a love story.
No.
It's just, like, a life story.
No. And
so, yeah.
I mean, like, it should have just been called, like, Adele eating things. Like, she was just, like, eating food the entire time. I was into it, though. I was like, cool, like, I love food. Like, let's eat spaghetti this whole movie. But,
It's a fat acid salt.
Fat acid salt.
Blue.
Blue.
Fuck. Salt, fat, acid, blue, yeah.
Yeah, that's what it should have been called. And honestly, there should have been more food. Like, I just... But
you sound like the girl from the Runaways panel.
I love her.
She's great. Did you guys go to the panel?
Did y'all go to the Runaways panel?
That was some good shit. There was a girl that just kept talking about food.
Yeah, she was Zavin?
Yeah, yeah. She plays, like, the alien, spoiler alert, that comes down to, like, try to marry Jenny Gardner's character.
We love her. But yeah, so, I mean, I would, if you had to rate it now.
Let's talk about it some more. We have some more
details. Okay, okay. All right.
This movie's fucking 3 hours long.
Oh, God, why?
Like, why? And then it says, like, part one, and then there's no part two. I was, like, extra mad about that. It's like,
did we need a part two to that, girl?
Well, I was mad back then because it was, like, it's a French ending, right? It's a French movie. Yeah. So it was just, like, there wasn't really an ending. There's no,
I would,
like,
watch another movie with her just, like, making food and cooking and, like, being,
you know,
queer.
And there was, she's actually a pretty good dancer. That's what really surprised me. I was like, why can't she dance? Like, is that a French thing? I don't know, like, but...
Adele could dance?
Yeah, she could. Well, in most of the scenes, yeah. Sometimes she was like...
She's very talented. She's many talents. One of them is dancing.
She was doing it, and I was, like, really shook on it.
Oh, God.
Yo, but honestly, I was also... They really kind of skipped through their relationship steps.
Oh,
and,
God.
And I know I talk about how I don't want to date, I just want to skip forward. But they, like, skipped forward. Like, literally, it was like... She drew her, then she fucked her, then they went to a pride parade, and then she met the parents. Like, this was within, like, 10 minutes.
They're lesbians! Come on, that's normal!
I don't know, man.
They moved out, like, right after it cut. Like,
well, it cut forward in time, though, so that was fine. But within 10 minutes, like...
They should have never dated. That was just so weird to me. Like,
it was,
what do you have in common with an underage child? Like, no.
It's a Call Me By Your Name all over it.
Oh.
Everything got quiet. All right, cool.
You got awkward and quiet.
But I guess, like, one thing of, like, the only symbolism really that I caught in this entire movie was that, like, they were super warm and cuddly towards each other when Emma had blue hair and then she had the blonde hair and all of a sudden they were like, eh.
I don't like you.
That was the one thing where I was like, they did a symbol, like a single one. Oh my God. And then, like, I also another thing that I liked was that at one point there's a scene where she's dancing to Aventura.
Oh, yes! Yeah, there's a, like, she's so dancing, nasty. Like, bachata with some random dude, right?
Yeah.
That was representation for us. It was like, yeah. Yes!
Once
yes.
again, I was like, she can dance? What the fuck? Like,
oh, that's the scene in which she dances.
Where I'm just like, yeah. I don't think she should be able to dance that good. It's just not realistic. to be honest.
She wasn't awkward enough? That's like, not realistic.
Oh, my God.
But, the one that plays Blue, like, in real life is super feminine, so props to her on being, like, a great actress. Because she was, like, the ultimate fuckboy. She did that shit. Like, she was, like, staring at you like this. She, like,
yeah, room, across like, the room.
Like, fuckboy 101.
Yeah, but, like, she's just creepy to me. I don't know.
She
like,
was very creepy, but
like, dude, she's a baby, and you know it. You straight up said she's an underage kid in this bar. I just, yeah. I can't get over that. Mm-hmm. But,
yeah.
Oh, I thought, an interesting thing that I noticed this time around was that I saw, like, a lot of things, like, classism between them. Like, I saw Adele as more of, like,
because of
like,
the spaghetti and the oysters?
The spaghetti versus the oysters versus, like, the culture conversations they would have. I was like, why are they dating? Like, they have nothing in common. Like, Adele keeps trying to, like, let's make this deep and philosophical. And Adele just wants to, like, hang out. Like, she just...
Adele wants to hang out. And Emma's being
philosophical. She just wants to hang out. And Lea Seydoux's character is like, oh, the philosophy. And she's like Bob Marley.
Emma was very pretentious. She was, like, an artist. She was very pretentious. She was all like, you know, you should do more with your life than just be a teacher. Like, teacher, that's enough. Like,
there was a lot of like classism there between them, and I think that was really apparent towards the end of the film. Like, it was about two people who've never, I don't think realistically would have dated that long. Even queer women, I don't think they would have dated that long. Like, maybe a year. Like, that was excessive.
Yeah.
So, the movie, I mean, and then the male gaze-y part, like, we, oh god.
Well, do you have details on that? Because I guess I didn't pay attention to it.
Well, it's because the actresses, they asked them, like, after and how they felt and how uncomfortable they were saying everything was set up. They were
this
like...
This was NC-17, by the way. Like, this is graphic. I've never seen such graphic sex scenes, like, in regular films, you know?
I'm not really... It just felt wrong because it was, like, the way that they expressed how uncomfortable they felt after the film was done. They were like, well, you know, I didn't feel comfortable filming those sex scenes.
Obviously,
it was a lot. And it was a lot. I understand it takes a lot of, like, emotional intimacy that you have to be out there. And I don't even know how their setup was. They didn't describe that. Oh, you know.
Somebody does, man.
Do you remember?
Come hither.
Come hither.
We got insiders.
Get in here, girl.
Yeah, he actually made them shoot it for weeks, so for 16 hour days.
Director?
Yep.
Oh, shit.
For weeks, they just only did the sex scene over and over for 16 hours a day.
Fuck that shit. No.
And he basically treated them like a piece of meat.
No.
And that's why they felt so uncomfortable. So
fuck.
That's what I have to say about that.
This is why.
I hate it.
This is why I'm looking forward to like.
So fuck this movie.
Yeah. this is why I like. Women directed films, like, you can tell, like, people are way more comfortable. I think the humor is way fucking better in, like, female led like, movies.
Miseducation of Cameron Post.
Yeah, fucking Olivia Wilde's shit. Like, I'm sure it's gonna be fucking hilarious.
And respectful, and, you know, so you have to be respectful.
Blockers?
Did
anybody see Blockers?
Blockers was amazing.
The fucking bomb. So good. Watched it on the plane, like I went on, like, 4, like, plane rides. I watched it every time.
It's really good.
Makes me cry a lot.
Mosquita and Mari. I mean, if we don't talk about that enough, we're saying it again.
Mm-hmm.
Watch Mosquita and Mari.
Don't
buy
know how.
It.
They took it off of Hulu.
You can purchase Mosquita and Mari. I think it's on Wolf on Demand.
Okay. We'll put the links up.
Yeah, we'll put the links up. Yeah. But, yeah, and then, so, what rating would you give it?
Who's the warmest color?
Yeah.
Dude, I did laundry, like, I packed, I, fucking shit, I did so much, like, I couldn't drink any cafecitos because it was nighttime and I'm an old lady and I would just stay up all night, but dude, if I had, like, if it was earlier in the day, I would have been chugging some coffee.
I think I give it, like, 5 moldy pan dulces.
oh my god, 5 of those pan dulces that we got when we went to...
Oh,
they were
so bad.
So bad, dude.
So bad.
We got a whole bag. We were
They're
so
like
hopeful. We got a whole bag of conchas.
Sugar-free conchas. That's what... I think it's 5 sugar-free conchas. That's how much I...
And we all tried
like
it. Just, like, 5 different people took one bite and were like, bye.
Throw this away. That's how we felt about this movie. Throw 5 sugar-free pan dulces. That's what that was.
Like, a coffee couldn't save that shit. Like, I tried it with a coffee. Like, nope. Bye. It's no.
It's just coffee grinds. Like, not even, like, God. The actual mix. That's how that movie was. But yeah, finally, we talk about it. Because we don't like to give energy to things that we actually hate. We're weird in that we like to talk about things that we like. And that we love. And we try to uplift versus bash everything. Because there's plenty of people bashing things. And
there's plenty of things to bash.
But there's plenty of things that are worthy of our attention. Of our love, and we deserve to give it praise and to talk about
it.
And
to critique it where it's
needed. Critique it where it's needed, but critique, you know, not bash. And there's a few things that we love and we mention all the time, like Mosquita and Mari, and you should watch it. And if I didn't say that before, I'll say it again. Yes, Corey.
Well, we have an audience question on our mind. She's just saying that's five minutes left, okay?
Okay, aww. 5 minutes.
We have 5 minutes. What do you guys want to do?
Yeah.
Nothing?
Yes. Yes. Yeah, of course. You Argentinos are shit. Look.
Tattoo Argentina on my chest, man.
Like, look. Oh my God. Maka's like wild. Like, Maka just be out here and she knows it and she knows we stand everything she does. So she's just like fucking feeding us. Mm-hmm. Did you see her recently in this like queer magazine?
Yes.
Waif?
Yeah.
She's with another...
with Britta Lundy.
Atypical.
Atypical. Have you guys seen Atypical? I have some of my reservations about it, but I kind of like it.
I like it.
But I don't want to talk about it.
But yeah, Julentina...
I hate liking problematic things.
Julentina was our best, like, most ridiculous, like...
We got along so well for those 3 weeks. For 3 weeks, I was
we
like...
We bonded every day.
We were actually talking to
we
each other.
We would watch like, it on Periscope together. Like, yeah, that was...
It was
you,
taking
like,
over my life. Whenever the season finale happened, I was like, finally. I can get back to work.
It felt really lovely to see, like, queer women in Spanish in a novela. Because, like, when I grew up, there was, like... What was that? Like, La Rosa de Guadalupe? Where it was, like... it was, like, oh, she's gay. And, like, they were, like, well, God is going to have to save her.
No.
And, like... I just felt really like.
Apparently, it's like stepped up its game.
No,
it doesn't do that shit.
Recently,
anymore.
My girlfriend watched an episode with her mom, which is something she could not do before. Okay. And her mom was even like, wow, like, gay people are real and like, they deserve to have love. And so, I think Julentina might have done that for a lot of like.
Yeah.
Latina
moms were
moms.
Watching that shit, like, and it was so gay.
It's the gayest thing, and it was a healthy representation. Well, I mean, you know, it was ridiculous because
it was still pretty healthy, though. Like,
I mean, no, like everything around it, the situation.
Oh, okay.
Them,
yeah.
They were like the center of this, and they got to have like a happy
like,
storyline.
Them
like,
being like their fates being intertwined was the central thing of the entire novella. That's unheard of. What the fuck?
One of them, and you know what trope I always like I love about this is that one was the millionaire and she's like I'm gonna help my girlfriend get all the things that she wants with my money, and I was like, find me, give me money, like this is what I want.
Where's my maca
But like again, I mean, it's the same problems that we see throughout novellas, right? Like they're white still, and that was super kind of frustrating to see because, okay, we get them to be, you know, queer women, but then it's like, oh, but they're going to be the whitest white. And it's like, we can't have both. And it's so frustrating to see, and I just hope in the coming years, maybe my kids or my nephews or my dogs, whatever, get to see queer.
Chrissy's
like,
going
to
see, like, she's going to bark at that screen so happy.
So happy. And I mean, yeah.
I like that too.
I mean, I know we're both like super...
What
super, super, super light skin. But, I mean, I hopefully one day we see something different in the future. But it was still a really beautiful story, and it had a lot of respect. So it is rare for us to see, and I hope a lot of people's lives were at least introduced to queer women as just actual human beings who feel things, and that's okay. Versus, you know, yes, God is going to punish you, and like La Rosa de Guadalupe and all this shit, so... Hopefully it changes and hopefully it gets better and we do better as humans. So.
Yeah. So to answer your question, yeah, we saw it.
Yeah.
Any other questions?
Any other questions?
Thoughts, feelings, anybody just want to start a Kubia circle finally?
Yeah.
No?
No.
Okay. All right, cool.
Well, you guys are free to go, but thank you so much for like coming.
You're
free
also
to
free
come
to come
sticker.
Up here and talk to us for like the next
yeah.
10 minutes. Thank you.
Thank
for
you.
Coming.
Or the chef. Thank you.
I finished my drink.
Congrats.
Did you or did she?
Right?
I took 3 tiny sips. Thank you. All right,
come up and talk to us. Okay, bye.